I appreciate Bill leading singing. I love Bill a lot, appreciate Bill a lot, and I pick on Bill a lot. And that, I think when I pick on him, that means I do love him. And I appreciate you being here tonight. In 2012, I was preaching in Paris, Tennessee. And they had a radio program and they had a television program. And Randy Blumenberg was working a midnight shift then, so he'd go home, he'd turn on the TV, and he would listen to me speaking, and he said it always put him to sleep. So I'm going to keep an eye on Randy tonight. I see where you're sitting back there, Randy. I got my eye on you, making sure you stay awake. He thanked me many times for putting him to sleep. So that was good sleep that he had. A woman had an annoying husband. He complained all the time. Now, let me tell you, ladies, I'm not talking about your husband, although that probably could be the case for all of us from time to time. He complained all the time. In fact, one day he went down to do some work, and he took his old mule with him. And he complained so much that the mule kicked him to death, and he died there. At the funeral, the preacher was amazed because he noticed every time that a man would come through and see the lady, she would look at him and she would nod, and he would go on. But when the ladies came through, she would shake her head no. And so after about a week later, he couldn't take it anymore. And he asked the lady, he says, "Why were you shaking your head yes to the men and no to the ladies?" She said, "Well, the men came by and they said that everything would be okay." And she shook her head and said, "Yes, it'll be okay." But then their wives came through and they wanted to know if the mule was for sale. And so she shook her head no. You know, we all have a tendency sometimes to complain. And tonight I want us to think about, instead of complaining and griping about things, I want us to think about what we can do as Christians to make the church better and what we can bring to Jesus. In Romans chapter 12, I'm going to begin with verse 4. I'm going to read a few verses and then we'll get into the main part of the lesson. Paul writes and he says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." When we read these verses, what we see is that each one of us have some ability and we have some talent. And I want to tell you what we need to do is we need to bring those talents to Jesus and we need to use them for the church so that the church can be the very best church that it can be. When I look at the Bible and I study about different people who brought things to Jesus, one of the ones that jumps out to me is Andrew. And Susan, you can flip that next slide. And Andrew was one who brought something to Jesus. We don't know a whole lot about Andrew. The Bible doesn't talk about him a whole lot. We do know that he is Peter's brother. We know that he's mentioned 12 times in the New Testament. We know that his name means manly. And Andrew met Jesus in the wilderness where John the Baptist was preaching. In fact, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. And the setting that we have there, Andrew has gone to the wilderness to hear John the Baptist preach. He obviously was a disciple of John the Baptist. And while he was there listening to John the Baptist pointed out that as Jesus walked by, that he was the Lamb of God. And when you read John chapter 1, what you see is that John and Andrew went and they spent the day with Jesus. Now, once Andrew realized what had happened, I want you to notice what he did. Beginning in verse 40, he says, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah.'" You see, what happened here is Andrew found the Messiah, and the first thing he wanted to do is he wanted to go and find his brother and share that message with him and bring him back to meet Jesus. And he wanted Peter to know Jesus like he did. He was so excited that he had met Jesus, he wanted to bring his brother back to him. Now, I think that when we look at Andrew and we see how zealous he was and how excited he was, we can understand Here is the one who's going to be our Savior. Here is the Messiah. And when he met him, he wanted to bring his brother to him. It says he went, the first thing he did was found his own brother after he had been with Jesus, and he brought him to Jesus. That's exciting to see, that Andrew was so excited about Jesus that he wanted to bring his brother to him. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. There are people here who can reach people that will never, ever listen to me. They will never hear a word I have to say, but you can bring them to Jesus. In fact, there are people in the audience tonight who are here because someone here brought them to Jesus. I think that we need to take advantage of the opportunity we have to share Jesus with those who are around us. Our mission report just a few weeks ago, I enjoyed what Russell had to say because this is what he's doing. He's going there in Montana, and he's trying to bring those people to Jesus, to tell them about Jesus, to share the message with those folks, and let them know about our Savior. It's exciting to see when people have that kind of excitement. It's exciting to see that church go from 13 members 8 years ago to 60 at this time, because it's what they're doing. They're going into the community, they're being active among those people there, and they're sharing their faith with those that they come into contact with. Now, we can do that as well, and we need to be willing to do that and bring people to Jesus. Andrew, to me, was a great man in the Bible, because when he found out about Jesus, what he wanted to do was go and find his brother and teach him about Jesus and let him meet Jesus. And we know when we read throughout the Bible, we see what a great person Peter was, and we see what a difference he made. Peter was one who was impetuous, and he was one who was always seen and always heard, and we don't hear that much about Andrew. In fact, half the time when Andrew is mentioned, it says Simon Peter's brother. But Andrew is the one who brought Peter to Jesus. And there are people in our lives we know that need Jesus. Even in Henderson, Tennessee, there are people today that need Jesus. And we need to take advantage of that opportunity. We need to reach out to those people, and we need to bring them to Jesus. Andrew did that, and we can do that as well. We can bring them and teach them about Jesus. The next thing I'd like for us to notice is in John chapter 6. Susan, if you'll go to the next slide there. John chapter 6. What we have in this story is, this is after John the Baptist had been beheaded. And you can find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John is the only one that mentions Andrew specifically, because John was very close with Andrew, and I would imagine that's why his name is mentioned there. But he had the disciples, and they were there, and Jesus was teaching a multitude of people. In fact, there were over 5,000 people there. They were following Jesus. Jesus had been performing some miracles, and so they wanted people to be healed that were sick, and they were bringing them to Jesus. And what we see is, it's getting late, and there's nowhere for the people to stay. There's no food for them. And I can imagine that the disciples are fussing about the food. They're probably complaining, how are we going to feed this many people? It would take 200 denarii or 200 days worth of labor for us to feed this multitude of people. And they're all sitting there, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do, and they're probably arguing. But then Andrew does something that the others didn't do. He brought to Jesus, verses 8 and 9 of John chapter 6, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? And that is a good question. What are they for so many? How are 5 barley loaves and 2 fish going to feed over 5,000 people? But see, Andrew didn't give up. He found something and brought it to Jesus, and he had a kind of a solution for him. And he was offering something there, and Jesus took those loaves, and he took that fish, and he fed over 5,000 people. And when they finished, there were over 12 baskets full of stuff left over. See, Andrew was not going to sit there and argue. He was not going to sit there and fuss, and he was not going to sit there and fight. He was trying to find a solution to it. I think a lot of times when we don't get our way, or when things don't go our way, we want to fuss and we want to complain and we want to sit back and watch. But I have found, instead of complaining, many times the best thing I can do is bring forward what I got and do my best and put the complaining and griping behind me. And Andrew did that here. And because of that, over 5,000 people were fed. over 5,000 people because Andrew brought what he had to Jesus. And if we bring what we have, if we bring our best to Jesus and we give it to him and do the very best we can, then we're going to be able to help the church to be what it needs to be, to help it to grow and help it to make a difference in this community and in this world. And that's what we want to do as Christians. We want to be able to make a difference and bring people to Jesus and share the things that we have. A third situation that Andrew was involved with is in John chapter 12, verses 20 through 22. In these verses, what we're going to see is that there were some Greeks there who wanted to see Jesus. And so Philip heard what they had to say, but he went and got Andrew so that Andrew could take him to Jesus. Look at the verse there. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." I wonder why Philip didn't just take him to Jesus himself. I wonder why he didn't just take it and go and run with it and take them to Jesus himself. But he didn't. Philip went and told Andrew. He went to find Andrew because he knew that he would be willing to take him to Jesus. And he went and he found Andrew. And then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. You see, when we look at this and we read these verses, we can see that not only was a missionary at home, he was a foreign missionary too. I enjoyed the report that Kevin gave on the work that they're doing in Peru and the great work that they're doing and how the church is growing and how people are being reached for Jesus. And it's amazing to see the dedication they have. But when we look and we see that Andrew brought these Greeks to Jesus, he knew where the saving power was. He knew that the blood of Christ was their only hope of having salvation. And he knew that Christ was the Messiah. And he knew that that was the only way that they would be able to have a hope was to be introduced to Jesus. Now, it doesn't say that he hesitated. It doesn't say that he thought about it or he stammered around or anything like that. His response was that he took them to Jesus and told Jesus about them. See, Andrew was a man who was willing to do what was necessary. He was willing to do his part. He didn't mind going above and beyond, and he wanted to make sure that people knew about Jesus. Well, you might ask, Andrew did his part, but what does that have to do with me? I wanted to show you tonight that sometimes it's simple things that we can do that can help others come to know Jesus. And I ask a question. Why do we bring to Jesus what we have? First of all, we bring to Jesus what we have because it allows us to grow spiritually. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, told us there that we should love the Lord. We should love the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If we want to grow as Christians, we've got to have our priorities right. We've got to start with Jesus. We've got to put him first. And it's not too hard to do. We can do that. And we need to take him with us wherever we go. Whatever we do, we need to take Jesus with us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter wrote and he said, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." We have a responsibility as Christians not to stay where we're at. We have a responsibility to grow. If we stay where we're at, we're losing ground. We need to continually grow. We need to continually mature spiritually. And we need to be who Jesus wants us to be. Our world today needs us now more than ever. And we have an opportunity to make a difference. The second reason that we bring to Jesus what we have is because it helps the church to accomplish her mission, to seek and to save those which are lost. Church has a mission to seek those which are lost and to serve those. And when we're all doing our part, it helps the church to function properly. But what happens many times is that a few people do most of the work. And a lot of people watch. That's not necessarily so here, but that's what happens in most larger congregations. You have a few people watching, a few people working and you have a lot of people watching. There's work for us all to do. There's things that we can do to help make this church be what it needs to be and help this church to accomplish the mission. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul cared deeply about the church at Philippi. And we need to care about this church here. We need to care about the Lord's church. Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you always, in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy. Christ died for the church. He loved the church that much. And we need to care for the church as well. And we need to be doing our part. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, Peter says, as you came to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. When we do our part, we help the church operate at full efficiency. We help the church to be what it needs to be, and we're fulfilling our responsibility when we do that. And then the third reason, and the final reason, is that we allow others to use their gifts while we're using ours. You see, when we don't use our gifts, somebody else has to pick that slack up. And it may overburden them, may overwork them. What happens is the church is not operating at full efficiency. We have a responsibility to do our part, and that frees other people up to use their gifts. I was glad Bill led singing tonight instead of me, because you would not have recognized the songs had I led singing. You know, you'd have had the words, and you wouldn't have recognized them at all with me leading singing. And there's some things that I can't do, and there's some things that you can't do. But the things that we can do, we need to be doing, and we need to bring that to Jesus. We need to let him know that we are in and that we're going to do his will. Andrew brought what he had to Jesus. Andrew used his gifts and his talents to glorify God and to serve God, and he brought people to Jesus. Tonight, what are you bringing to Jesus? What do you bring to Jesus? What do you give to God? How do you serve the church? How are you helping this church to operate to its full efficiency? How are you helping it make a difference in Henderson, Tennessee? As I told you early on, you have an opportunity to reach some people that would never listen to me. And I have an opportunity to reach people that might not listen to you. Do we take advantage of those opportunities? Do we take advantage of the opportunities we have to serve God? Or do we sit idly by and let somebody else, and figure that somebody else will do what we're not doing? It's important for us to be able to do what God wants us to do. It's important for us to put it to practice in our lives. Let me read Romans chapter 12. And then we'll draw this lesson to a close. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 again. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Paul challenges us to use the gifts that we have, the talents that we have that have been given to us from God. My question to you tonight is, what will you bring to Jesus? Will you use your gifts, your talents, the skills that you have to glorify God? Will you bring people to Jesus? Will you bring solutions to problems? Will you teach others about Jesus? What will you bring to Jesus? Bill's going to come in just a second and lead us in a song. And it's designed to encourage us to think about our lives. It could be tonight that you're not a Christian and you're ready to give yourself to God, to submit to him in obedience by being baptized for the remission of your sins. We'd be glad to help you do that. It could be tonight that you've not been given your best to Jesus, and you want us to pray for you and ask that you do that, I think Jesus dying on the cross for us in our place should make us want to bring our best to Him. One of my favorite songs ends, says, "But this I know with all my heart, with His blood He paid the ransom. With the blood He paid the ransom." What will you bring to Jesus? If you need to come forward tonight, I want to encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.